Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Oh, one, two, test. All right. Praise the Lord, we're here again. It's first Sunday of the month, so we informed everybody that we are going to partake of communion. So I want you to run and get your juice and your cracker or your bread or whatever you're gonna use as we get ready to do communion. And so what we like to do at New Creation is to take a few minutes and just make sure everything is okay between us, the Lord, and our fellow man. The Bible says that we have to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then love our neighbors as ourselves. So we want to take a few minutes, but what we'll do now is just pray and ask God to cleanse us, forgive us for all of our sins and all the things that we may have done, and also those that we have offended might also do the same. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to share your communion with your people, even though it's via live stream. And we pray, Lord, that you would, first of all, forgive us of all our sins. Lord, so many times we do things we don't even know we're doing. So forgive us for that. And also, Lord, forgive us for offending our brothers, our sisters, or people around us. Lord, we sometimes become insensitive to those that are around us, and we say and do things that we shouldn't do. So forgive us, Lord God. You said that we need to examine ourselves so that we don't take your cup and your body in an unworthy manner. So we're doing just that. So, Lord, forgive us, wash us, cleanse us by your precious blood. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as we always like to do, as we get ready to partake of the emblems, we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. And the first part says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which was broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's eat together. And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And we like to raise the cup up as a token of victory, knowing that Jesus not only died, but he rose again, and he gave us life everlasting. Let's drink together in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, Father, we thank you for your body. We thank you for your blood. We thank you that you have made us new covenant people, and we're no longer outsiders looking in, but you have made us insiders, not just your servants, but your friends and your children. And so thank you for this opportunity of sharing the blood and the body, your blood and your body with your people. And also, Lord, I ask that you would now help us to understand your word as we open it up for this evening, this morning, on the subject of our faith and how much faith that we need to have, or according to our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. All right. So last week I talked about we were going to go to Elijah's story. So let's do that first. And then we will talk about some of the things that we need to do to learn to increase our faith. Now, Elijah is one of the great prophets of the Old Testament. And he did some incredible things while he was on the face of the earth. And one of the great things Elijah did was the confrontation on Mount Carmel. But if you back up, the story about Mount Carmel was also about the fact that there was no rain. Now, I'm going to go to the promise that Elijah used to stop the rain. So let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 13 through 17. And it says this, "And it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart, with all your soul, then I will give you the rain of your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and your oil. And I will send grass in your fields for your flocks, that you may eat and be filled. Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them." And in verse 17, this is where we get, "Lest the Lord's anger be aroused against you, and he shut up the heavens so that there be no rain and the land yield no produce, and you perish quickly from the good land which the Lord has given you." So here God first promises to give them rain, but if they turn to other gods, which the children of Israel in the northern kingdom had done, he was going to shut up the rain. So Elijah comes on the scene. The Bible doesn't even introduce Elijah. He just shows up one day, and it says in chapter 17, it says Elijah the Tishbite shows up and he proclaims, it says, "There won't be any rain on the land unless it's at my word." So Elijah, by this promise in Deuteronomy 11, shuts the rain off from Israel because they are now serving other gods. And in order for the rain to start again, there had to be a repentance for the people to turn to God. So that was what led him to the Mount Carmel experience, where he got the prophets of Baal together and they called on Baal. And then after they called on him for most of the day, then Elijah showed up. He put his sacrifice in there, poured water on it just to spite them. And then he just said, "Lord, I want them to know that you told me to do all this. And we thank you that you're going to answer by fire." And as soon as he finished speaking, the fire fell and the people cried out, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." That was a confession that they realized that God was the true and the living God. So based on that confession, then Elijah went and prayed for the rain to happen. Now, the interesting part about Elijah, even though we know that he had this experience and he also knew that God had told him to stop the rain, but also God had given him the power to ask for the rain to come back, Elijah goes up to the mountain to begin to pray for the rain to start. But if the first time he prayed, nothing happened. Everybody say, nothing happened. A lot of people pray and they don't think anything is going to happen, and therefore their faith goes away as soon as they, "Well, I knew God wasn't going to answer my prayer." That's what I'm talking about. According to your faith, do you believe that God is going to answer? Elijah didn't only believe, he knew God was going to answer. And the Bible said Elijah didn't do it one time. He didn't do it two times. He didn't do it three times. He did it seven times before he saw a sign in heaven, in the heavens, that showed, and it wasn't even a rain cloud. He said, "I see a cloud, but it looks like the size of a man's hand." That was all Elijah needed. And after that, he told Ahab and said, get on your chariot and go home because the rain is coming. And that's what I mean. He had the promise of God to stop the rain, and he also had the promise of God to bring the rain back. And so his faith was built up by the promise. So we have to understand that it's not our feelings, it's not our emotions, it's not our circumstances being dire, but it's the promise of God that pulls us out of situations and circumstances. God is, and I'm going to say this, and I hope it doesn't sound cold-blooded, but God doesn't care about your crying. He cares about his word. And no matter how much we cry, if we don't have a basis to ask God, then he won't do what he promised because he only hears his will and his word. And a lot of people have trouble with that. But that's what builds the faith. The Bible says what? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if we need faith, the Bible said it's impossible to please God without faith. So if we need faith, we have to have his word in order to build our faith. Amen? There's just no other way you can do it. So we see Elijah jumps out, does what he does, and God answers his prayer. But notice that in James, and this is not in my notes, but James mentions Elijah. He says, Elijah was just like us. A lot of people say, well, Elijah, man, he was a great prophet. He was this, he was that. No, he was just like us. He believed God. God fulfilled his promise. That's the way we have to act. That's the way we have to do. He struggled with things. He got, after all that great power was manifested, he got depressed. He got down. He got sad. He said, well, Lord, take my life. I'm not any better than anybody else around here. He got sad because I don't know what happened to him, but he went through just like all of us. He was just like us. He was not special. And sometimes I think people read the Bible and they think, well, man, the only special person in the Bible was Jesus. He was very special because he was born of a virgin, the Son of the living God. But everybody else in the Bible is just like you and me. They do stupid things. They say stupid things. They do things they have no business doing. They're in places they have no business being in. All those things that we do, they do. But God still had mercy, turns their hearts around, and then he's able to use them in a mighty way. And I want to make some references to faith, because a lot of people think faith is the goal. If we have enough faith, then we can do anything that we need to do. But faith is not the goal of the Christian's life. And I don't know, that's going to shock some people. But faith is not the goal. And let's go to 1 Corinthians 13, 1 and 3. So we'll see that faith is not the only purpose of our life with the Lord.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
And we all know 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter, right? And the first thing he says in the love chapter is, he says, though I speak with tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and this is the part I want to get to, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. So God is trying to tell us it's not about faith. It's about your relationship, your love relationship with God. The Bible says faith works through love or by love, because it's your love of God. It's his love for you. And it's that reciprocal relationship between he and you that causes us to be able to trust him in difficult times. See, the thing about love, when it's true love, I'm not talking about the love that says, oh, I love you today, and as soon as somebody makes you mad, I don't love you anymore. That's not God's love. That is the world's love. That's why we have so many divorces. People, oh, I love her so much. I love her so much. And then she burned your food and then you don't love her no more. That's not the love that we have with God. God's love is enduring. And our love for God, when we get to understand who he really is, our love endures and it trusts him. And once we get to that place of trust, where we know God loves us and we know he's going to keep his word, then we can trust and believe that he's going to do what he said. But notice he says that love suffers long and is kind and all these things. But the key is love is the goal, not faith. Our love of love life with God is the most important thing, not how much faith we have. Because, see, most people think this is a contest. We believe our spiritual life. Well, I'm more spiritual than you because I have more faith than you. I can pray and see people healed. I can do this. And no, so that's now you've been puffed up. But the test of your relationship is not what you can do. It's who you love. And it's where you're standing in relationship to the Father. So faith is not the goal. Loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength is the goal. And then loving our neighbor as ourselves is the goal. We're supposed to walk in love and love the Lord with everything that we have within us. And it's that love that he pours out in our hearts by his Spirit that perfects our faith in him and our trust in him. Amen? Amen. So I wanted to also, I don't have time to go through this story, but I wanted to talk about Gideon a little bit, because Gideon is a man that received a promise, but he didn't believe it. And this is where most of us are. Now, I can't go through the story of Gideon, because Gideon's story is about two chapters in the book of Judges. But I want to look at the first part of Gideon's story. And let's go to Judges chapter 6, verse 11, and just do a little bit of it. And I'll just kind of paraphrase it and talk about it in a general sense. But if you want to read the whole story, it's in Judges 6 through 8. But in verse 11 of chapter 6 of Judges says, "Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which is in Ophrah, and while which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, mighty man of valor.'" Now, notice Gideon is getting a visitation from an angel. He's calling him something that Gideon is not, which was a mighty man of valor. Gideon is not mighty. The Bible says right before that, he's hiding. He's hiding wheat. He's trying to keep this from the Philistines and the Midianites and all the people that keep coming in there to take the food. And then Gideon's response is, Gideon said to him, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then are all these things happened to us?" Now, how many of us have said that? If God is with me, how come I keep going through all these troubles? How come I can't seem to keep my job? How come I have problems at home? How come I can't do this? How come I can't do this? How come I can't pay my bills? But that doesn't change the fact that God is with us. That just has to do with circumstances. But God being with you is still the case. He hasn't left you. He's still with you. Amen? But then he goes on to say, you know, how come all this has happened? And then he says, "And where are all those miracles which our fathers told us about?" Uh-oh. So you mean to tell me Gideon knows the word? He's heard the promises? He knew about the Red Sea crossing? He knew about them coming out of Egypt? And then, but he didn't have the faith to believe that it was possible that God would do the same thing today. But God always promised that he would protect and keep his people as long as they followed him. Amen? And so he goes through this, and then the angel says to him, "But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" And he had a Moses moment. He says, "Oh, Lord, not me. How can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." That sounds just like Moses. He's saying the same thing. God was trying to tell Gideon who he was, and he did not believe what God was saying. So it was not until Gideon understood what God was saying that he finally got enough courage to do God what God told him to do. And this, I like Gideon's story because Gideon put out fleeces. Said, God, if this is really you, you know, make water be on the fleece and no water on the grass. And he does that. He said, okay, God, let me try one more time. Let water be on the grass and the fleece be dry. God did that. And then after all that, Gideon says, and God, he was going to do he got his army together, the 300 men. He said, and God said, and just to remind you, I'm still with you. Go down into the camp of the Midianites and listen to what they're saying about you. So finally, after three confirmations, Gideon got it. Now, I like Gideon because he's like us. We're always looking for confirmations. God, if this is really you, can you show me a sign? God, if this is you, really you, can you show it to me again? God, if this is really you, give me this. God, if this is really you, cause it. But see, God always confirms his word. So you really don't have to worry about whether or not it's him. He will make sure. He sends it two or three times so that you have a witness. And that's exactly what he did for Gideon. And finally, Gideon gets the faith, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word, but it also comes by doing. He could have had faith to believe, but until he got up to do what God said he was going to supposed to do, he would not have the faith to accomplish what God said he was supposed to accomplish, which was bring Israel out of the hands of the Midianites. And so we see this story over and over in the scriptures about how people took the promise of God, carried the promise, believed the promise, acted on the promise, and saw the promise fulfilled. But then let me ask these questions. What causes us not to believe in what God says that we can either have or do? Well, I'm going to say a couple of them. I'll just only have time to do two, and then we'll do the other two later. He says, the first thing that keeps us from believing God is we do not see how God will accomplish what he said he will accomplish. And unfortunately, we are always a people that want to know the information before we make the jump. We want to know, well, God, how are you going to do this? And there's a couple of stories in the Bible I can't really go to because we don't have enough time, but I'll go to one. It's a story about in 2 Kings chapter 7. It's just verses 1 and 2, so it's not a long story. This is Elisha, not Elijah, but Elisha. And the nation of Israel is in a famine, and Elisha makes this proclamation. He said, then Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a seah of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and two seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. So an officer whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, look, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, could this thing be? And this is us. We're trying to figure out, God, how are you going to do this? But, you know, God doesn't have to tell you the how. Just trust him that he will. Just trust him. Believe that he is able to do what he says he's going to do. God is not a man that he should lie. God is not scared of people. That's why most people lie, is because they're scared of people. You know, somebody come in and say, you got something we need? No, I don't have it. And you know you have it. You said that because you're scared. But God is not scared of people. God is not scared of anybody. Matter of fact, I don't think fear exists in God. Because the Bible says perfect love, what? Casts out fear. And he is the epitome of perfect love. So there's no fear in him. So when he says something, he's not like, I wonder if they're going to believe. No, he doesn't deal with that. You got to deal with that. And you got to trust him. And this officer did not believe that God was able to do it. And Elisha, said to him, because he said that, and he said, in fact, you will see it with your eyes, but you will not eat of it. Talking to the man that said, and if God opened the windows of heaven, could this thing be? And the answer should have been, yes, it could be. However God chooses to do it, he could do it. And we all know the story. He used lepers to go bring a whole bunch of food into the nation of Israel. So we don't have to be concerned about the details. Stop asking God, well, Lord, how are you going to do it? Just trust him. Some of us have so many trust issues, we can't trust him when it's time to trust him because we got to know how. And that's something we don't need to know. God will take care of the how. Amen. Well, I'm actually going to stop right here. We'll pick up the other two. So we need to learn to trust God's word and believe that he's going to do what he said and act on that. Act as if it's going to happen, even though we don't understand how it's going to happen. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for this time and your word. And Father, you do things so quickly, so sweetly, so patiently, you deal with us. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would give us the desire to trust you, even beyond what we have. Lord, we cry out like the man, Lord, I want to believe, but help my unbelief so that we will have the faith that we need to see you fulfill your promises. And Lord, I pray for those that are hearing me. Lord, those that don't know you, I pray that they would confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in their heart that you raised him from the dead and they shall be saved. Confess their sins and that you will cleanse them and wash them from all their sins. And those that need a touch in their body, we pray for you to touch their bodies, heal their bodies, heal their minds, heal their hearts, drive out fear, drive out anxiety. Lord, we pray for victory. We loose peace into their circumstance because you are the Prince of Peace. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, we thank you and give you praise. And everybody said, amen and amen.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.